Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It's great to be back, and we had a short break and we had a great time. We actually managed to celebrate our anniversary, which was wonderful. Amen. We're very thankful to the Lord. I tell you, it's only by grace that we've made it 20 years. Amen. Grace and a wonderful wife. Amen. I'm very thankful. We had an argument once and she said, "Don't ever say anything nice about me again from the pulpit." Okay. I can't help myself, darling. I truly am very thankful to the Lord for giving me the most amazing wife. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And we had a great time. While we were away, we went and visited a church in Georgia. We went to Jensen Franklin's church. We had a great time there. Wonderful church, great, wonderful minister of the Lord. And, you know, it's just amazing because when I go and visit a church, you know, obviously I don't get to do that very often. But when I do, I was having so much fun, you know, just... Like, you know, sometimes people don't get excited, and I'm just like, well, I want to take my chance today. You know what I mean? I'm just going to go for it. So when he says, you know, let's have a praise break. You know, this is one of the things he says. So I'm thinking, let's get up. Let's do this thing right now. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. And so it was a great time there, and got to see his ministry and what they do there. Phenomenal ministry, great excellence. See, they love the Lord, and they're doing an awesome work for the King. So it was awesome to do that as well while we were away. In my absence, my pastors ministered, and I'm very thankful to each and every one of them for doing an awesome job. It's really so wonderful that I can take a break, and also with the things I believe God's going to be doing with the church in the future, I know that whenever I'm not here, I have an awesome team around me that, you know, can really just keep running the church, amen, and they do an awesome job. Very thankful. For my pastors, my whole team, and all my leadership, you know, here at the church, very grateful to each and every one of you for what you do. You know, that's a team. We're a team. Amen. We want to take the harvest as a team. You know, it doesn't help to have one laborer. It takes a whole team of laborers to bring in a harvest. And so we trust in God that this is the year of souls, 2021. Right? Amen. Amen. Sometimes you've got to wonder, is it 2021 or what year are we in? Last week, Pastor John continued with a series on a blessed life. And one of the things we've tried to, you know, get you guys to grasp is the perspective that you have on what it means to be blessed. Is our perspective the right perspective? What is God's perspective of what it means to truly be blessed? We have a tendency to have this, you know, kind of like natural instinct almost to think that being blessed means to have certain things that satisfy our inner needs. Truthfully, they don't satisfy our inner needs. For example, just a silly example, you know, you get this new car and you're all excited and it satisfies you for about 6 months, and then all of a sudden it's not so new anymore. And just that feeling of joy that you had when you got this new car is just no longer there. You know, so do the things of this world truly bring you total satisfaction? Do they bring you peace and joy? Do they really do that? Honestly, they don't. You know, I said in the first two services, you know, if money was the thing that would make us truly happy, then why is it that so many people that have so much money seem to be the most miserable? They may be happy because they don't have to worry about paying their bills, but they're so miserable in other ways. Because the truth is that goods, earthly goods specifically, will never bring you satisfaction, true contentment. True contentment comes from the Lord and from Him only. The good thing about God, or the wonderful thing about God, is that He not only wants to bless us, but He also wants to prosper us. And prosperity is not a curse word. If you think it is, I feel sorry for you, because I want God to prosper me and I want Him to prosper you. That doesn't mean I want a get rich quick scheme. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. But if you study Scripture, you will see that part of God's blessing is He takes care of your needs as well. Amen. So this morning, we're going to dive into episode 5, which is hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let's go to Matthew 5, verse number 1. We'll pick it up from there. Just run through quickly what we've covered so far, and then I'm going to dive right into it this morning. Matthew 5, verse number 1 says, "And seeing the multitude, He went up on a hill, on a mountain. And when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. Then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.'" It's interesting, you know, many scholars suggest that every single one of these, poor in spirit, mourn, and meek, are an attitude that you have that actually kind of build into each other to get you to progress with your walk with God. You know, being poor of spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's having an attitude where you're fully dependent on who God is. You know, and those who mourn and those who are meek. Last week, Pastor John shared about meekness, about being able to be in a posture where you know that God will take care of everything. Even when sometimes you feel like, you know, you should handle the situation and you want to come in like a roaring, raging bull. You know, you rather stand back and have a humble, meek attitude and watch how God takes care of it. I said in the first service, it's amazing because oftentimes we tend to forget that the person that you're dealing with is just as important to God as you are. Let that sink in. Because I'm thinking God wants to smite them. Lord, You said my enemies are Your enemies. Smite them. Right? Thank the Lord I'm not him, because my judgment is just not good. But His is good. He's a righteous judge. Man, the one thing I've come to realize about God more than anything is that He really loves us. I mean, He really loves us. And it's astounding, because we just so don't deserve the love that He has for us. It's like, really, God, how can You be the way that You are? Anyway, let's dive into it this morning. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So we know that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be blessed. The result of someone that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, the Bible says that they will be filled. I always like to say as well, not only will they be filled, but they will be fulfilled. So one of the things that we desire as people is to be filled, content, or fulfilled as human beings. Clearly, the Bible says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those are the ones who will be filled. The Bible also says in Matthew 6, verse 31, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So clearly the Bible tells us, listen, seek first. Everybody say, seek first. That means that this is first. This is really important. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We have a tendency to think if we go after all the things, we'll be okay. But what he's saying is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I was sharing with the first group Pastor John's message this morning in the tithe that was really powerful to me. Because he was sharing how, you know, the disciples are on the boat and the nets on one side of the boat. Just kind of imagine this for just a second. The nets on one side of the boat, and all of a sudden they take the net and the Lord says to him, put it on the other side of the net. Listen, those boats, if you've ever seen them, they're like not that wide. They're like not that big. You know, so, you know, and if you know anything about fishing, a school of fish, like, it's not that far, you know? But we must seek first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. As Christians, you have a choice to either live a natural life, to walk according to the kingdom of this world, or are you going to walk according to the kingdom of God? Jesus came to establish his kingdom on earth so that you could enter into it and live differently. So his disciples had a choice. Listen, it seems so insignificant. The net's on this side of the boat, Jesus. Do I really have to put it on this side of the boat? Why are you telling me to take it out of the boat and put it here? Can't the fish just swim like 2 yards more and they'll be in the net? No, you see, heaven desires a response from you to see if you will believe what is impossible for men. But what I love about that story is the line between the natural and the supernatural is literally like this. It literally is just like this. It doesn't seem that difficult. That's why the currency for the kingdom is faith. Jesus says, take the nets, guys. Listen, by now, if you've lived with Jesus for a while, which they had, they're not going to not do it. They know that when the master speaks, maybe we should listen. So he's telling us here that if we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. The word righteous in the Greek basically means justice or doing what is right or doing what God requires. So in other words, God wants us to desire to be right in his sight, to do what he requires, to honor, to obey, to listen to his word. Are you with me? To be righteous. We should hunger and thirst for this. Many people will hunger and thirst for other things. They'll hunger and thirst for riches. They'll hunger and thirst for substances. They'll hunger and thirst for food. They'll hunger and thirst for sex, whatever, anything. They'll think that they can be satisfied internally. They can be filled internally by hungering and thirsting for things in this world when the Bible tells us that we should hunger and thirst first for righteousness. But this is a difficult thing. This is a complicated thing. And if you study Old Testament scripture specifically, you will find there was an elite group of biblical scholars that listened and read the word, and they were diligent men. I mean, these guys knew the word, and they wanted desperately to obey God's word by following his law and wanting to do right in his sight and live right according to his word. And I honor them for it, right? So they wanted to live right. But Jesus makes an incredible statement. Watch this. Matthew 5:20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, he's saying, listen, even though those guys have got all this knowledge, they're trying their best to do what's right. In fact, many of them are probably getting 25 of the so many hundreds of laws right and think they're getting them all right, something is missing. Their righteousness is not going to work. In fact, their righteousness is not getting them to cross over from the natural to the supernatural. They do not have access to that realm because they're trying to do everything in their own strength. Are you with me? Isaiah 64, verse number 6, says something about that type of righteousness. He says, but we are all like an unclean thing. You unclean thing, you. Did you hear what he said about you? And all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Go look that up in the Hebrew. What filthy rags is. It is as unclean as it gets, right? We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. In other words, listen, guys, you can think and be as righteous as you think you can be. You will never be righteous. Your righteousness, in fact, the more I think I'm getting it right, the more I start worrying about myself. I'm like, man, I'm doing pretty good right now. I'm in a good place. And I'm like, oh, now I'm in trouble. So what are we to do? If this righteousness that comes from desiring to do this that is right is not the answer for righteousness. Romans 10 verse number 1 says this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. In other words, he's saying, I want my people, the children of Israel. This is Paul speaking about the children of Israel. He's saying, I want them to be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. They have a passion. They have a zeal for God. They want to do what's right. But look at what he says. But not according to knowledge. In other words, their desire should not be here. He says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seek to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. So in other words, there's no hope. Their own righteousness, their own good deeds, their own things that they do to try and be righteous, there's no hope because there's only one answer. And verse number 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law. Watch what it says carefully. Is the end of the law for what? For righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To who? To everyone who believes. So in other words, your righteousness will not come from what you can achieve. Your righteousness will come from what you believe. That's why Abraham, it was accounted for him righteousness because he believed. Are you with me? You have to believe. You have to have the currency of the kingdom, which is faith. Faith without works is dead, though. So don't just talk the talk. So we know this. We see this. We understand. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So how does it work? 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17. I'm going to give you a lot to swallow. Really, the last verse is the most important one, but I need to put it into context. Watch. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? Everybody say, I am a new creation. Okay, now if you are not saved, you are not a new creation yet. But if you have given your life to Jesus, you are a new creation. That means that you are new, you are whole, you are set apart, you are new. He says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What has become new? Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now watch, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You can be the righteousness of God. What did you just say? You can be the righteousness of God. How? In him. You see, outside of him, there is nothing righteous about you. But in him, you can be right the righteousness of God. Oh, man. Are you saying that I can be the righteousness of God? Yes. You can be the righteousness of God. How? In him. That's the only way. It's not what you do. It's not what you've done. It's not how many times you've done it. It doesn't matter how many times you got it right. It doesn't matter when you didn't do this and when you didn't do that, or how much you did, or you bought the church, or you paid for the church, or you bought that person this, or you gave that person this. Those are all good things, and you should do all of that. But that's not going to make you righteous. Because more than likely, your motive, even though you convince yourself that your motive is pure, probably isn't. And I'm speaking from absolute experience. Oh God, I'm so righteous now. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to do the right thing. Not like that guy. I've already missed it. Right there, I missed it. Right in that moment, I missed it. So there was no hope for us in our own righteousness. The only hope for us was that there would be an exchange at the cross. Oh, God is so good, guys. Do you see how much he loved you? That he sent his only son, who knew no sin, to become sin for you so that you could be made righteous. How? Because at the cross there's an exchange. His righteousness for your righteousness. You don't have any righteousness. So he paid for it. There's an exchange. And you become righteous. You become the righteousness of God in him. Because you no longer are you the way you were. You have become new. First Corinthians 1 verse number 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. The whole shebang right there. You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In other words, there's no glory for you. The only hope of glory is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The only good thing about you is him. And I mean that. I know what I'm talking about. Because the closer I get to him, the more I look at myself and go, yuck. I don't like what I see. I don't like what I say. I can understand what the prophet says when he got before the Lord and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Because everything that comes out of this mouth is not always good. And I think to myself, I'm going to get it right this week. You know, at Jensen Franklin's church, he said to the guys, listen, 1 week of saying good stuff, I thought, I'm going to do this. It took about 4 hours. About 4 hours. And I said something really silly. And then for about 4 hours after this, I only said silly things. Well, you know, I can't have a pastor like that. Well, good luck. We can never get to the place where we become or think that our self-righteousness is what causes us to walk in righteousness. Never. Because it's not true. Now, I want you to understand something. It's very important for me that you understand this. Because I am someone that believes in walking in holiness. That believes that we should always desire to walk in holiness. That we should always desire to seek and to desire to do the right thing in the presence of God. The closer I get to God, the more I realize and the more the things I do that are wrong, it actually hurts me because I know it hurts him. It affects my relationship between him and I. Are you with me? But I've also realized that no matter how hard I try, I'm still going to mess up. And don't get angry at me because Paul said the same thing. And listen, the guy glowed in the dark. He says, the things I don't want to do, that I do. And he came to this realization that sin lives in him. But he doesn't want to do it, but it still happens. So how does he become righteous? He doesn't glean on his own righteousness. He receives the righteousness that comes from Christ. Are you with me? You are made righteous. You are clothed in righteousness. You are cloaked in righteousness because of what Jesus did. You carry his righteousness. It's awesome. Amen? So powerful. The Bible teaches us in Titus 2, it says, grace teaches us to deny ungodly living and worldly lusts. So in other words, the more grace that is given to you, I want you to know by now you should be learning something. Change. Turn the other way. Go the other direction. But when you make mistakes, because you will, get up, keep running your race and keep going. I taught last night, the devil desperately wants you to be ineffective. The devil desperately wants you not to minister to other people. Because if you're not ministering, you're pretty much just coasting. I wanted to say useless, but I thought it wouldn't be appropriate. Are you with me? God said, these words says that go into the world and make disciples. A disciple is someone that is making more disciples. Someone that is always ministering to others. Are you with me, guys? You don't have to be on the pulpit, but you have a cousin that needs the Lord. You have a boss that needs the Lord. You have a tenant that needs the Lord. You have a colleague that needs the Lord. Are you with me? You have a child that needs the Lord. So you can always be ministering. Okay. So now we understand that we've been made righteous. Our righteousness comes from Him. But there's a dilemma. Because Jesus teaches us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. But I thought I am righteous. Am I the only one in the room that has struggled with this? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. Okay, God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to seek righteousness, but you said I'm righteous. So what, you know, Paul taught us that, you know, we are the righteousness of God in Him. That we've been made righteous. In fact, we are your righteousness, God. But you're telling me to go and seek it, but I thought I had it. Come on. You know, I try so hard to be someone that will teach you in a way that it's so easy to understand. Because the Bible really isn't that complicated, even though we'd like to thouest make it very difficult. But the truth is, it's not that difficult to understand. Sometimes it takes a little bit of common sense. Just think about it. When Jesus preached this sermon on the Mount, it was at the beginning of His ministry. Are you with me? Go to John 7, verse 37. This is later in His ministry. He makes this statement. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And during the feast, everyone would come up to Jerusalem. And they would celebrate and they would do sacrifices and they would do rituals and they would come to be filled and to be refreshed and to enter the new year at the Feast of Tabernacles. The feast is over. It's the last day of the feast. And Jesus makes this incredible statement. Watch. He says in John 7, 37, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. But you said I should hunger and thirst for righteousness. And now you're saying that if anyone thirsts, I should come to you? Go to John 6, verse 35. This is not too long before that. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, everyone say comes to me, shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. He's not talking about righteousness here. He's talking about Himself. Well, you know, why didn't He say that in the beginning? Well, because in the beginning, imagine if He got up at the Sermon on the Mount and said, those who hunger and thirst for me will be filled. They would have looked at Him and thought, okay, it's time to go. Think about it. But He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, how do we get His righteousness? By seeking Him. Well, He never said anything about this again. Pastor Alex, you're wrong. I'm so glad you said that, because right at the end, just before He went to the cross, He was having dinner with His disciples. And He said something really profound to them. He said this. He said, take, eat. This is my body. Take, drink. This is my blood. In other words, the only way you will share in everything I have for you is if you partake in me. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you need fulfillment, the only place you're going to find it is in me. There is nowhere else. What righteousness do we want? We want His righteousness. Well, why didn't Paul teach us this? He did. I read it to you. He did teach us this. He told us that our righteousness comes from Jesus. Come on, He did. No, well, you know, it wasn't clear. Oh, it was very clear. It's very clear. He told us. Paul told us on multiple occasions. Well, are you saying now that we are righteous all the time? No, you will never be righteous, but you have his righteousness because you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. You have been made new. That goes for justification. That goes for sanctification. The Bible said so. I read it to you. Does that mean that you must never, you just do what you want? Don't be stupid. If you sin, get up and repent. It's filth. Get up and repent and say, God, forgive me, for I have sinned. But I thank you, Lord, that my sanctification was sealed in the cross because of the blood of Jesus. My desire is more of you, Lord. I desire you, Lord Jesus. I hunger and thirst for you, Lord Jesus. You are my heart's desire. More of you and less of me. More of your presence. More of your spirit. You see, on the day at the cross, at the cross, there are two things that happened. There was an exchange that took place, but something else glorious happened that day. You see, there was a veil that separated man from the presence of God. And as the earth began to shake that day at Calvary, so the temple veil tore in two, the Bible says. And man was restored to God. And we were given an opportunity to go back to the presence of God, to once again go back to the presence of God. Now we can be made righteous. We can be the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did. But your only way to attain it is in Him. You should desire to do good. You should desire to do right. You should sell everything and go and follow the Lord. You should do all of those things. But that's not what will make you righteous. The only thing that will make you righteous is His righteousness. And there is nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing. One of the prophets foretold us this. Let me read it to you real quick. Are you guys okay in Vero Beach this morning? Isaiah 49, verse number 8. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I've heard you. Capital Y. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. That you may say to the prisoners, go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. Now watch. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For He who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water, He will guide them. Why will they no longer hunger and thirst? Because they will go to Him and be filled. You have to, as a believer, recognize that your everything is in Him. And as soon as you stop desiring Him and His ways and His righteousness and think you can do it on your own, you're in big trouble. So what should we do? I'm so glad you're asking. One more scripture and then I'm going to close. Let's go to, it's so funny, we sang the song this morning. Revelation 22, verse number 17 says this. The Bible tells us, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus has done everything for you. Are you telling me I mustn't desire to be righteous? Absolutely not. Desire it. But recognize that your righteousness comes from Him. There's nothing you can do. You see, the truth is, if you get what I'm saying to you this morning, and you hunger and thirst for Him, the more you seek Him, the more you desire Him, the more you go after Him and pursue Him and give Him your heart and your time, the more those things of the world will just melt off you like wax. it won't be so hard to overcome that addiction. Staying faithful to your wife will be easy, because your desire will be his desire. I taught you that when you're in the presence of God, if you want to be anointed, it means to smear or to rub. When you're in his presence, when you're with God, automatically you become a little bit more like him. It's normal. If you hang out with someone, you start to talk like them, you start to act like them. The more you're in the presence of God, in the word of God, seeking him, going beyond the veil, spending time with him, the more you begin to say things that he says, think things that he thinks, do things that he does, along with all the other stuff that we do. But you will eventually begin more and more to change. That's why hunger and thirsting for him is the key. Are you guys okay this morning? I'm almost done. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Lord, I consider myself to be so blessed. Not because of what you've done for me or given me, or not because of what you've given me, Lord, because you've given me so much. I count myself blessed because you have given me an opportunity to know you. Lord, you have given us things that the Old Testament saints never had the opportunity to have. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to go beyond the veil. We have you living on the inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Lord, I desire your ways. I desire to walk as you walk, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that on the journey, even when I make mistakes, and I hate those mistakes, just like Paul said, I hate those things. Those things I don't want to do, I do them. But Lord, I know that I can get up and continue to run this race, because I'm not righteous because of what I do. I'm righteous because of what you have done. So I seek after your righteousness. I thank you that you died for me, Lord, that you gave your heart for each and every one of us, your life for each and every one of us. And I pray this morning, Father, that this word will free so many in this place, that they will recognize that even to overcome sin requires grace. That's why your word says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Not so that we'll continue in that sin. Surely the word repent means to turn and go the other way. But you have overcome. You have overcome, Jesus. And I am in you. And if you have overcome, surely if I'm in you, I too can overcome. But when I do fall, when I do make mistakes, I know that I can stand, not in myself, but in you. Because you have paid for my sin. You have paid for my weaknesses, my iniquities, my transgressions. Oh Lord, to please you, this is my desire. This is our desire, to please you, Lord. So that in that day, we will stand before you. You will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Father, I know that it is not us that can even move anything. But Lord, I know that in you, if we believe, if we stand and believe and speak to that mountain, Lord, that mountain will be moved. Father, in this room is filled with amazing people that love you and serve you and desire you with their hearts. This morning I pray, Father, that every bondage, everything the enemy has against them will be broken, not because of anything that we have done, but because the anointing breaks the yoke. And Father, you sent your Son, the Anointed One, Jesus the Christ, the Mashiach, the Holy One, the Savior of the world. He came, and now your word says that he lives on the inside of us. In other words, he is right here, right now. Father, this morning in this place, our desire is to seek you, Lord, with everything inside of us. Even in this place this morning, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. We hunger and thirst for you, Lord Jesus, because you are our God. You are our King. You are our Lord. and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Have your way in our marriages. Have your way in our families. Have your way in our children. Have your way, Lord Jesus, in our businesses. Lord, I don't want to leave you out of anything. I don't want to leave you out of any part of my life. You are Lord in the morning. You are Lord in the evening. You are Lord when I go out. And when I come back, you are still Lord. Father, when I wake up in the morning, let the first words that come out of my mouth be, good morning, Father. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. You are my heart's desire. You are everything that I need, Lord. Father, I pray this for every person in this place, that we would hunger and thirst for more of you, Lord Jesus, more of your presence, more of your spirit this morning in this place. In the name that is above every name, surrender this morning. Surrender this morning. Surrender that sin this morning. Surrender that bondage this morning. Surrender that addiction this morning. Put it at the cross. There's an exchange that can be taken away right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, make a decision to pick up your net from the one side of the boat and put it on the other side this morning. For yours is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has been made available to you. Enter into it this morning. In the name that is above every name. Come on, lift your voices this morning. Come on, lift your voices. Give the Lord a shout and a clap in this place. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is none like you, Lord. There is none like you. Amen. I need to say something. Quickly have a seat. I'm going to close. Some would dare to say, do not be emotional with God. Listen, I will serve him with everything. I get emotional watching a movie. I'll cry watching a movie about some dude that I don't even know, that's probably not even real. When I think about what he's done, how much he loves me, what he does and that he puts up with me, of course I'm going to be emotional. That's exactly what Paul was saying. Get out of your head the knowledge. Give him your heart. Follow him, seek him, hunger for him, thirst for him, desire him with your mind, with your heart, with your will, with your emotions, with every part, with every fiber of your being. Desire him with everything inside you. That's what he's trying to say. That's the only way you can be righteous, when you fully surrender to him in everything. All right. I hope this morning has encouraged you. I hope it has strengthened you. I hope it has set you free. If you were not here last night, I encourage you to come out tonight. I know it's bilingual, so it's kind of a little bit longer. But last night I ministered a word on the anointing and flowing in the anointing that I really believe every believer needs to hear. And if you don't come tonight, please go listen to it, because it was really, really powerful. Man, the presence of God is here. Let's bow our heads. You are great and greatly to be praised, Lord. You are great and greatly to be praised. Hosanna in the highest. Lord, I pray for everyone in this place that they will not leave here the same. Not because of what I have said. You said it in your word. You love us so much. So this morning, as I release your people, I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with every one of you as you go. Be blessed in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.